Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to sift through some really interesting sources and pull out the key ideas for you.
That's right.
And today we're tackling something, well, something pretty universal. This idea of cool.
Ah, oh, yes, cool.
What even is it? Is it how someone looks or how they act? Is it about the group you're in? Or maybe something else entirely? I think most of us have spent some time wondering about this, you know, back in school or maybe even now.
Definitely. It's a concept that seems so important, especially when you're younger, but it's incredibly hard to pin down. It feels like it's always shifting, doesn't it? Depends on where you are, who you're with.
Exactly. It's slippery.
Mm.
And that's what we want to unpack for you today. Our mission really is to explore this elusive nature of coolness and maybe get past the surface stuff to, well, a more liberating understanding.
Yeah, move beyond just, you know, the sunglasses and the leather jackets, maybe.
Right, so we've got some fascinating material. There's a really personal story about someone's childhood, then some sharp observations from a kid, actually, and also a pretty deep discussion from the Let Love podcast about the danger of comparison.
A great mix of sources. Personal experience, observation, and some deeper reflection. It should give us a really rounded view.
Okay, let's dive in. So the first source starts with someone looking back saying, once a cool kid, and then I wasn't. Bam, right into it.
That hooks you immediately, that feeling of gaining and losing status.
Yeah. They describe being 9 years old, clever and lively, you know, one of the kids who got noticed. And get this, they were in a girl band performing on a concrete stage behind the school toilets during lunch.
Okay. Rock and roll.
Ha! Totally. And even though they admit they weren't great singers, they were accepted. That's the key word. And critically, many girls in my class envied me. Not everyone could belong to our band. So there's that exclusivity piece right there.
Mm-hmm. Exclusivity seems central to that early definition of cool. And it's interesting how it's tied to a specific group, a specific activity.
Yeah.
So it feels very context dependent.
It really does.
Yeah.
And what stands out is how quickly that feeling, that external validation, can just vanish.
Yeah.
Because the story takes this sharp turn.
Right. That and then I wasn't part.
Exactly. Then something happened. A new school, a new group of girls, and my popularity plummeted. Just like that. From that moment on, I never regained my cool girl status.
That's rough. But it really highlights how fragile that kind of externally defined cool is. If it's based entirely on your environment and the acceptance of a specific group, it can disappear overnight. It makes you question what that initial coolness was really made of.
Totally. Was it something inherent or just fitting a temporary mold?
Yeah.
So what did cool look like at this new school? The source gives us a really clear picture, maybe a little stereotypical, but recognizable.
Okay, let me guess. Something about Lowe's money.
You got it. The new cool girls. They were from well-off families. Houses with swimming pools, separate toilets for male and female guests, specific details like that.
Ah, the socioeconomic factor. Always plays a role, doesn't it?
Seems like it here. And yeah, clothes. Trendy brand clothes on the weekends. But also, how they handled the uniform during the week. They had this knack of transforming their school uniform with daring and individuality without getting into trouble.
Ooh, that's interesting. So it's not just having the stuff. It's a kind of confidence, maybe. A way of carrying themselves. Knowing how to push boundaries just enough.
Exactly. The source says they walked differently from everyone else. They had confidence and really owned their space and ours as well.
Hmm.
That last part is telling, isn't it? Ours as well.
Yeah, that implies a certain dominance, a social power dynamic. It lines up with that other quote, they spoke, we listened. Coolness in this context seems tied to being in control, setting the terms.
It really paints a picture of a hierarchy. And for those outside that inner circle, those of us outside the circle envied them. It creates that feeling of lack, that you're missing out on something vital because you're not in.
It's a classic in-group, out-group dynamic built on comparison and aspiration, and often fueled by these very visible external markers of wealth, fashion, perceived confidence.
So you have this model of cool based on externals, on fitting in, on maybe even a bit of dominance. But then the narrative shifts again, thanks to the author's own daughter.
Okay, a fresh perspective. What did she see?
Well, she was watching kids at a homeschool event, and she just comes out with, have you noticed how everyone tries to be like the cool kids? So observant.
Kids often are, aren't they? They see the pattern.
Totally. She said they copy their clothes, the way they speak and what they say, and then she identified the why. She said they are too afraid to be themselves because they might do or say something wrong.
Wow. That cuts right to the heart of it, the fear of rejection, the fear of being, as the author put it, banished to the fringes of the crowd.
Exactly. That fear drives conformity. You try to mimic the cool kids to avoid being ostracized.
But what's the cost of that conformity? The daughter points it out. You're afraid to be yourself. You lose authenticity. You're constantly policing your own behavior, your own words, trying to fit an external mold. That sounds exhausting and, frankly, pretty sad.
It really does. But here's the kicker. The daughter's own stance. After observing all this, she said she wasn't interested in conforming to the group and being like everyone else, just to be cool and accepted.
Good for her. So what was she interested in?
Her simple, powerful statement. I'd rather be me.
Boom. Just like that. I'd rather be me.
Yeah. Isn't that something? It completely flips the script. It moves the focus from out there seeking approval to in here self-acceptance.
That's a huge shift. It challenges that whole external structure of coolness we were just talking about.
And it connects beautifully to the insights from the Let Love podcast, especially their episode on the danger of comparison. Before they even redefine cool, they tackle why comparison itself is such a problem.
Right, because that's the engine driving so much of this chase for external cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Comparison. Looking at others and feeling like you don't measure up.
Exactly. The podcast really emphasizes how damaging it is. It's not just, oh, wishing you had nicer clothes. It attacks your sense of self-worth.
Yeah, it traps you. You're constantly measuring yourself against others, their lives, their looks, their stuff, their perceived happiness on social media.
And it leads to this cycle, right? Either you feel superior for a fleeting moment, which isn't great, or more often you feel inferior, less than, which fuels anxiety, self-doubt.
And that endless chase for something external to make you feel okay, to make you feel cool or enough, comparison basically tells you your worth is conditional,
right,
based on how you stack up against others. It's a recipe for unhappiness.
Totally. So against that backdrop, the danger of comparison, one of the Sisters of Life on the podcast shares this amazing teaching from her father.
Okay, I'm ready.
He consistently taught her, being cool is being yourself.
Simple, profound.
Right. She just grew up knowing this, thinking it was like common sense.
Which makes her later realization even more interesting.
Yeah. She tells this story about her cousin, who was maybe early teens, and the cousin just didn't get it. The sister said, being cool is being yourself. And she was shocked her cousin didn't understand. I was like, what?
Mm.
Yes, it is. I couldn't believe she didn't know that.
It highlights how countercultural that idea actually is.
Totally. The sister realized most people don't think of life like that. She felt like she had this treasure, this understanding that wasn't widely shared.
And the co-host confirms it, right? Saying something like, it's not the slogan in the teenage world.
Exactly. But the sister immediately comes back with, exactly. But it's true, though. Being cool is being yourself. She stands by it.
And what's so powerful there is how it completely redefines cool. It's not something you get from outside, from the right clothes, the right friends, the right house. It's something you are. It's internal.
Yeah, an internal treasure, like she said. It's about authenticity, not approval. It dismantles the whole comparison game. Your uniqueness is the cool part.
It fundamentally shifts the goalposts. Instead of trying to conform to an external ideal, the goal becomes, discovering and embracing who you actually are. It's liberating.
Hugely liberating. And this brings us back full circle to the first author, the one who felt like she lost her cool status.
Mm-hmm.
She connects this idea, being yourself is cool, to unschooling.
Okay, explain that connection. How does unschooling fit in?
Well, she mentions she used to wonder if unschooling, which for anyone unfamiliar, is basically letting kids learn through their natural interests rather than a set curriculum made kids different.
Right.
But now, seeing it through this lens, she believes unschooling just gives them the freedom to be themselves. It creates an environment where their unique interests and personalities can flourish without the pressure to conform to, say, classroom norms or peer group trends.
That makes a lot of sense. If the environment supports exploration and self-direction instead of demanding conformity, it naturally fosters that sense of authenticity. It removes some of those external pressures that lead to the danger of comparison.
Exactly. It suggests that the environment matters hugely in whether someone feels free to be themselves. And if being yourself is cool,
then environments that cultivate authenticity are actually cultivating coolness. The real kind, not the fleeting external kind.
Precisely. And the author really drives this home by quoting Sister Mary Grace from the podcast again. Each one of us is unique, incomparable, unrepeatable. Such powerful words.
Uncomparable, unrepeatable, directly counters the whole basis of comparison.
Right. And then the quote continues, why would we all want to be the same? That's not cool. Being cool is being yourself.
It's just so clear, so direct.
And the author lands on this conviction. Every child should grow up believing that. And then her final powerful statement, reclaiming her own sense of self. That's why unschoolers are the real cool kids. And that's why, once again, I'm cool.
Wow. What a journey. From feeling banished for not fitting the external mold to realizing that true cool comes from within, from embracing that unique, incomparable self. It's not about fitting in. It's about authenticity.
It's a complete reframing. It takes cool away from the popular crowd and gives it back to the individual.
Yeah, it suggests true confidence doesn't come from external validation or dominance, but from self-acceptance, from being okay with being you.
So looking back at everything we've discussed, we've seen cool defined by playground popularity, by wealth, trendy clothes, social power, all those shifting sands.
Things that are ultimately external and often about conformity or hierarchy and the fear associated with not having those things.
Right, that fear of being banished. But we've contrasted that with this other much deeper idea that being yourself, your unique, incomparable self, that is what's truly cool.
It's a shift from seeking validation outside to finding value inside. Embracing authenticity as the real treasure, like the sister said, that's the antidote to the anxiety of comparison.
So now we turn it over to you, the listener. Think about it. How has your idea of cool changed over the years?
Good question. From childhood to now.
Yeah. And maybe.
Yeah.
Are there places in your life right now where you find yourself chasing external validation, maybe at work or in social circles, or even just how you present yourself online?
Right.
Are you trying to fit a mold, or are you leaning into your own authentic self?
It's easy to fall back into comparison traps without even realizing it.
It really is. And here's a final thought to chew on. If we accept this idea, being yourself is cool, what are the messages or pressures, maybe subtle, maybe not so subtle, in our society today that still push us towards conformity?
Beyond the schoolyard, I mean, in our adult lives, think about workplace culture, social media trends, advertising. What nudges us towards being the same rather than celebrating our uniqueness?
And maybe, just maybe, how can recognizing those pressures help us make a more conscious choice to embrace our own incomparable selves?
Perhaps living authentically is the coolest act of rebellion there is.
Something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope we gave you some fresh perspectives.
Yeah, hope it was helpful.
Until next time, keep digging deeper.